Hi, Jelly Beans. Welcome to the biggest thus far collaboration that Crids Corner has had. It is so great to be having this amazing friend of mine on, and today we'll be discussing something super scary, super big, super controversial: toxic family. So I know it's long, I know it's yes, but this is worth it. Trust me, it's worth it. Having Wes on was one of the greatest ideas I ever had. So make sure you listen, because this is amazing.
Can you introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Wes. I am a friend of Crids, a very good friend of Crids, and I am very happy to be on my podcast today with a topic of discussion. I can't wait to start, because this is a really sensitive topic.
Very.
Yeah, but people don't know, like, people are not sure how much families affect them, so I can't really wait to get into it.
Yeah. Awesome. So today we are discussing toxic family.
Yeah.
So this is super sensitive, yeah?
Yeah, it is. You see, I don't know if your listeners know this, I have a podcast of my own. I talked about toxic relationships, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But when I almost started that, when I was doing research for that episode,
mm-hmm.
there are some people who are open-minded, and when they had relationships, they didn't automatically think boyfriend, girlfriend, like dating, intimate lovers. They thought
relationships. Family relationships.
Exactly. Because relationships still include family. So like, I think that should be a separate thing, and I guess that's why we're doing part one on your show.
Exactly.
Damn, it's sensitive.
This is big, and lots of people try not to think about their family in a negative way, because they think, oh my gosh, it's family, they're yeah. always there for you and all that
that's
stuff.
Right.
So I did a bit of research, and dictionary definition of a toxic family is where your family members do not respect your boundaries. They create an unhealthy environment and build stressful relations that can cause mental and emotional distress.
Yeah, word. That is true. That is actually the most basic way to put it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So any negative environment, that's it.
Yeah, and you see, I don't even know where we should start this. I don't know, should we start this from a point of, like, maybe childhood? Because, you know, a lot of toxicity in people right now
mm-hmm.
affects them straight from childhood. Like, our Juangi, like, you talk to so many people, and then they'll tell you, this mm-hmm. is just how family is. And then you ask, how did this start? Because this maybe is not healthy. And then they're like, no, it's always been like that since childhood. So for me, it's normal.
Yeah, that's the thing. So no, I was thinking, let's go with signs. What was happening in your childhood that was toxic family behavior, but you might not have really realized it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so one.
Uh-huh. It creates many repressed memories of things that people don't want to admit that are actual unhealthy things.
Exactly.
But I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
maybe as, because one of the things that happens in toxic family maybe is domestic abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a situation where there is domestic abuse in the family and the mom never left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe as a girl growing up, unapata, umchana either seeks out men who are violent or is okay with violence. You get
it? Yeah.
So unapata umtu akona this repressed memory of how the family used to be, and to her that became a new normal. She can't even tell when it's healthy or unhealthy.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a really sad situation, yeah?
Yeah,
because a lot of people don't even know. And you know, kakawaida ina kuangana story. So, kuna, like, people tell me a lot of stuff in confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me some things that have happened to them. So this one person who told me,
mm-hmm.
He never understood why the mom kind of resented him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could see it. Like, growing up, he used to just think you know, when you're a kid, you try and make up excuses for things.
Yeah.
Like, your mom doesn't, he's acting some type of way, you're like, maybe I did something to facilitate that. Like, maybe the meaning of her as well.
You do know that that is a side effect of toxic family behavior, right?
You try and make it up and you try and make justification for how maybe it's me, you try and change your life and stuff like that, but you'll get to all those side effects.
So mm-hmm.
that's what tells me that when I grew up, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I learned that that is not normal family behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he starts to dig and find out why the mother sort of resents him.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that the mom
mm-hmm.
did not plan on having this kid.
Oh, crap.
And aside from that, she got pregnant in a time she was not ready. And then the man, who is automatically the dude's father,
mm-hmm.
left.
Wow.
So, this child is a constant reminder of pain to this woman. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So now she's always been projecting her insecurities and her issues, her unresolved issues with her baby daddy, on the guy.
On him, yeah.
Yeah. And it comes in so such bad way because he used to make a mistake and then
mm-hmm.
the mom would do something like, "Ati, you're just as stupid as your father."
Jesus.
Yeah. You're just as stupid as your father. You're careless just like him. And then this kid would be like, "Oof, baba, kwani anakuanga wapi? Mimi sijai muona. How do I have that year and sijai ona?"
Well.
Yeah, and it really, really, really affected this guy.
Mm.
And to a point he realized, okay, fine, the problem now is not me.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, you understand?
Yeah.
And he had, it took a lot of self-realization. And this guy is not a young dude by all means.
Mm.
Not even my age. He's a bit older than me. And it took him his late 20s to figure out that he is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And do you imagine living your whole life and then you discover you're not the problem at 28, 29?
That can be easy.
Yeah, it can be easy because this guy did everything for the mom. Built the house.
And she still has the audacity to say such stuff to him.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Even after
he stayed.
Yeah, I know.
That didn't.
I know. Gosh,
give the kid credit.
Yeah, and you see, now, this, I think, brings me to the next thing that I think is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I also did an episode on Dear Parents.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, I know you've had that episode.
Yeah.
Specifically, I was saying parents are prone to cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
When we grow up, we see these parents as institutions, like they don't make mistakes, they know everything, they have an answer or solution. Then
yeah.
you grow up and you realize, everybody is really just guessing, and with a little luck, you do fine in life, you know?
Yeah, true.
So, like now, the reason why I'm telling you this is, parents don't deal with their own issues. And half the time, they project those issues on kids. And the kids don't understand why they act a particular way.
They think that's just how it should be.
Yeah. And they just continue carrying baggage and pains because of their parents. Like now, come on, Mzazi alichapwa, we grow up, that was the mode of communication. Now they come and project the same to the child, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's where I think it should start. What do you think?
In the previous episodes, I've talked about something called a toxic seed.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that started with our great grandparents happened to our grandparents, which happened to our parents, which they have done to us as well.
Okay.
And in the time and age we're living in, a lot of those things can't be applied. Like, they're literally laws against disciplining through corporal punishment right now. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So saying that you can you should be beaten or you should beat your kids is literally illegal right now.
Yeah, it is.
So a lot of what was normal for them cannot be done anymore. And those changes have to be apparent. But the thing is, we are that link in between the old, the traditional way,
yeah,
and the new age.
True.
So we receive most of the backlash, we receive most of the insults and everything, because we are losing our focus on what should be done in the name of disciplining, or in the name of, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Because our parents think we have lost our way, but our kids will be grateful to us, you know? And among some of the signs that I was looking at of toxic families is this unrealistic standards, expectation to meet unrealistic standards. Exactly. So your parent expects you to be an A+ student, to be athletic, to have at least 3 hobbies that you will always manage and keep at the top of the score. You also have to have a perfect social life. You have, like, okay, do you have that?
It's surprising, because let me tell you see, a lot of, there's also, like, now in addition to these particular points,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of parents
mm-hmm.
want their kids
mm-hmm.
to, a lot of parents want their kids to live through them. You understand?
Yeah.
Like, you want people
mm-hmm.
to live out the dreams you couldn't achieve.
Exactly.
And it is sad. It is sad, because a lot of the time that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, mm-hmm. when you think about a lot of things, like, now, personally for me,
mm-hmm.
my mom wanted to become a lawyer in future, right?
Mm-hmm.
She used to admire the career. That's what she would have wished, but the options were not there for her at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now, lucky for me,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a lawyer right from the get-go. It's always been my passion. But now the question arises, what if I didn't want to become a man? See, there is a possibility that my mom would probably have maybe imposed her dream to me.
Yeah.
And those standards of perfection are so real. Like, it affects people in ways they don't even understand. It's like when you're in a family,
mm-hmm.
your first source of lessons, inspiration,
pain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically ground zero. So you find that when you are in a family too, economic issues, you project those issues on other people. Have you ever met these people who say, they work so hard, but when you ask them why they study so hard, they won't mention themselves. They'll say, I want to make my dad proud.
Yeah.
My mom wouldn't like it if I failed. So I'm like, okay, what about you though? Where do you factor in into this whole situation?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, kabisa, these standards of perfection we're talking about are so real, and even in dating, a person will be absolutely into you. But if the parents disapprove, your whole relationship goes to shit.
Yeah, as if you're dating a parent.
I know. It's funny because now the parents most likely inform those kinds of decisions based off mistakes they made. So,
true.
They want you not to make the same mistake, but instead of telling you that I did A, B, C, D when I was younger and it caused me time, my mental health or my peace, or it made me lose time because of A, B, C, and D, they just, instead of telling you the actual issue, they try and micromanage you.
Mm-hmm.
Wanakunyima freedom. They don't want you to have too many friends coming in or going out.
That is actually one of the signs of toxic family.
Yeah.
Rather toxic parenting, where you are, the parents are over involved in you, in your life. They don't give you space to grow, space to become independent. Because they're not gonna, it's not always gonna be mom and dad come help me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always gonna be auntie, uncle come help me.
Yeah.
At some point, they also left their parents. They don't call their parents to ask for what they'll cook for their family.
I know.
Yeah. So at some point, it's not a switch. It's something that's gradual. I don't go from never entering a bank ever in my life. I don't know anything about taxes.
Yeah.
Nothing. To suddenly managing a business, my own house, my own job, my own finance. It doesn't work like that. It's not a switch. It's gradual.
And from when people go out making those mistakes,
that's how we learn.
Yeah, like they just want you to jump off the nest and fly. Yeah, fine, cool. That's how you do it. When I'm moving on and starting my own life,
mm-hmm.
I'm about to make mistakes. And the problem is, when I make mistakes, you start calling your own children an embarrassment to you.
Exactly.
Which kind of shocks me, because, like, now, and then the day you'll find that most of the people who will listen to this episode, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Utapata, what they will agree with what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, a lot of parents expect you to not have too many friends who might influence you badly. To not go out so that you don't make bad choices. But they still expect you to have a healthy social life, a happy love life, when the time is right for them.
God, I agree.
Like,
I agree.
It was weird. Like, no, there was this shorty who was complaining, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
During this whole corona period,
mm-hmm.
she almost had her, like, Alipanaskia, she'll go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 3 months, she did not see anybody else. She just stayed in the house, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No problem with that is, she could not go out and see her friends even with the COVID rules.
Mm-hmm.
But her friends could also not come and see her at home.
Mm-hmm.
And hakuwa, like, alikuwa tu solo home, so she literally is alone. And the parents are very busy, so they're not in the house.
So she's genuinely alone.
She's like alone, not even lonely, alone, ako solo. And she was telling me that if I don't have human interaction, me, I think I'll go crazy. Like, ananiambia mpaka, alikuwa ananiambia mpaka akiona series, anajibu series nikaa wao wakiona. Like, akambia usiende.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and she was really complaining. And the moment ilifika point that when, like, the country was open, that was like after 6-5 months, she immediately, like, went and saw her friend, and she felt like so much better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now here's the kicker. Like, they expect you not to go out, but you don't make bad choices, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They expect you not to have too many friends with that influence, but
mm-hmm.
but when you get to a certain age, they start asking you,
Why don't you have friends? Why don't you have boyfriends?
Boyfriend. Nicole, like, bro, you're the reason for that.
Another effect of that is mm-hmm. once they release you, you want to go try everything that you wanted to do and missed out on. You end up missing very significant steps in your growth. They'll say, oh, we were there, oh, tulipitia, we were also 20, we were also 18. But they were 18 in 1970.
Yeah, we're not the same.
That was 50 years ago.
The rules are not the same. You didn't have IG.
They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have the social standards that exist now.
Exactly.
I'm not saying we need to conform to everything of our society right now. But I'm just saying the system that was existing back then, I mean, there were still arranged marriages.
Let me tell you, I don't know, do you watch Flaco 411? You know Flaco?
No.
Flaco is a Kenyan vine. I know most of our listeners want to do a Flaco in
that. Haha.
Wanna be king, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Flaco has a character that he plays himself called Mama Otis.
I know him, sorry. Yeah.
I would have been shocked. But anyway, so, Flaco, he also has a sister called Atiz.
Mm-hmm.
So Atiz has a boyfriend over, and when they start talking, the mom is just there snooping around, checking if they're actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts this whole lecture about sex out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, there's two sex in your Zima, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And then she says, like, Atiz goes and says, apana mam, ma nani alikuwa amekuja tu kuomba kitabu, ni mtu mzuri. And then mama T goes and tells that at even you exactly nilisema siku ya kwanza baba Otita alikuja kwetu. You know, like, it might be funny, but I figured out that's actually a problem a lot of parents have.
Mm-hmm.
The insecurities they have with their kids are not about their kids.
It's about the mistakes they made.
They are about them. So, Adi, kuna msichana mwingine anajua alikuwa ananiambia ati the parents would not allow her to leave the house. Adi akienda hapo nje kubai. But yeah, like, there was this point, she wanted to go get her hair done during the coronavirus pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we were on lockdown, she wanted to go within the hood of a new hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mom actually called the saloonist to her house. Alikuja amfanyie hizo mavitu kwa nyumba ndio tu msichana akitoke. And then she got really mad, you know, because you're trying to get out of that whole family environment.
Yeah.
Mm. Hata yako kidogo.
Mm.
Just have some you time. And then she brings the saloonist to the house that you cannot go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now she was saying, the mom, when they were arguing, said that. And she said that we ukiachiliwa utakuwa kama mimi na baba yako tukiwa wadogo. So she was like, wait. So this whole time is not even about me. It's about the things you did, and you think that I will do the same thing.
Mm.
So it got to a point, Ushori akaanza kanisa to disobey and to disagree on purpose. Just to show them that I am not you.
Mm.
You understand? And
yeah.
Really sad. Mm. Because that tells you at all they are questioning their parenting skills if they cannot trust you.
True, by the way, yeah.
Well, that's why me I usually say, my mother had a very brave style of parenting for her time and age. She removed curiosity from me kitango time.
She allowed you to go through the steps.
Yeah, she would take me to a social joint so that I would see what goes on in a club. And then ikifika tatu, anatuwekea tasimi na brothers tunaenda home. Anatuambia masaya watoto imeisha, so we go back home. So when I grew up, me, I wasn't very curious what clubs had, what happens in clubs. Sikuwa na haraka. Like, nilikuanga, like, nishaienda, like, I've been to social joints, so I know. But
yeah.
Most parents will tell you, why in your club, why fanya in, so fanya in. So you get that freedom. Going to a club seems like heaven for you. So you go there, you see people drink, you see people...
Yeah, exactly the thing. When you're hindered from going and experiencing the things your peers are experiencing, you will also... Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I said this because I'm feeling very triggered right now. Very triggered.
It's a little close to home, eh?
I just love it in home. It is in home. Yes, in home.
But it's bad and true at the same time. Because now, how you expect someone, you tell them don't do ABCD when they're in your house. You don't tell them the why.
Exactly. It's just no.
Do it.
It's just no.
So I'm like, okay, fine. And you see, what I'm going to create, and this might be, maybe I've not done enough research on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the observations I've made from the research I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you put a ball before, say, getting married or being in a stable relationship, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a good percentage of that of those girls who get pregnant before, like, stable relationships and whatnot, a good percentage are from very, very extremely strict parents. But who am a pastor?
Exactly. That whole thing about pastors' kids are the worst.
Yes.
Is because they usually held on to so hard.
Yeah.
Like, their lives are dictated for them.
Yeah. And then,
I understand what being told, this is the Bible, this is what you should do according to the Bible, this is what we believe, and this is what we will raise you to do.
Yeah.
If you go against that, that is now on you.
Yeah.
Of course, yes, there's being you kuchapwa kidogo, you spank a little bit where they do wrong, you know?
Yeah.
But being told you will not go out until you're 18. Dude, I kid you not, the first time I left this house by myself, it was after high school. And I'm not lying.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I left this house by myself, after high
18,
school.
18, after I was 18, it's just a rule. Because when you get to 18, a lot of people, you see, this means that, of course, I don't want to lie. You are still 24 and you are asking for permission from your parents. Yes, I live in their house. I am asking for permission. They will kill me. Now, for me, they will kill me. These situations, like I said, a good percentage of those girls are from very strict families. And it's because in that family, maybe this chick was taught, hey, you know what? You should never have sex. Men are bad.
I know men. You actually hear that thing, I'm like, how many men have you met in your life for you to say, I know men? The men in your life, they have not reached 100.
Yeah.
They have not even reached that. Even 50 is even hopeful. And you hear saying, you know men, yet they're more than a billion.
Exactly.
In this country.
So I was like, okay, cool. Obviously, it's a statement that I see my wasichana. Then you get up there and then you meet a really nice lady and you're like, okay, she's wasichana nini. But now here's the catch of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're curious because now you have two conflicting information. Your mom uko nyumbani anakuambia wasichana 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 si wazuri.
Wasichana ni shida.
Exactly. You meet wasichana mzuri and you're wondering, okay, she's wasichana ni gani?
Yeah, so, she's good.
Yeah, you go out there and then you're just experiencing your life as it comes. Then you get a shorty pregnant. Or now that shorty gets pregnant, the one from the street family, to a guy mwenye in her eyes is really good.
Mm.
So now these parties, they have a real problem in their hands. No, no, kendaji wa wachana yopata izo ball, kapata ni wachana wa party. Wachana wa ma headmaster, wachana wa ma, like,
that serious one. People.
Yeah, like serious badasses in the community.
But they're the ones now who go and get pregnant.
Exactly. So now, which brings me to a point, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I think the solution is, like, us, we are affected a lot. Our generation is affected a lot by toxic parenting.
Exactly.
Toxic family.
Because we're opening our eyes to what's actually happening.
Yeah.
We're exposed to, we're reading, so we know what's up.
Yeah, we know what's up. Well, the thing is, for it to change, so that we also don't bring your toxicity to our generation, it takes you to be very aware and be a very open parent to change. Like, for example, like now somebody asked me a very simple question. I mean, Lisa, well, you have a daughter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this daughter wants to have the fact that the fees talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, how do you approach that? And then he gave me options. He told me, you can either tell them what your parents told you, especially for people in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Or have another option. What would you do in that situation? So I want you to answer, then I'll tell you what I said.
I would tell them okay, depends on the age as well, you know. I can't be telling a 3-year-old there's a vagina and a pink. No. You just, at certain ages, you know, you understand how you'll tell them in ways that they'd understand.
Maybe teenage, maybe secondary school.
Okay, so at that point, they've already done reproduction, so they understand what happens.
Yeah.
Now, I would tell them what the things that would lead, scenarios that would lead to such an encounter. You know, you meet a guy, you like him, he likes you, he starts frisking, touching, it feels good.
Yeah.
But it feels good only for that moment.
Yeah.
And at that point, this is high school, I would have to be a bit strict on that. I wouldn't allow them to put themselves in situations that would lead to something like that. But one thing that I did, and I've learned from my friends who have experienced it, is being open with your child, accepting their friendships, even opposite sex friendships, it helps build a healthy relationship. Because if your son comes home and says, there's this girl, she's pretty, and you're like, no girls. Your daughter comes and says, there's this boy, he's cute, and you're no boys ever. She will go and do it behind your back.
Yeah,
and bring you a pregnancy. They just become better liars. Look at us.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say. So the better thing, there's a boy, I'm like, bring him, I meet him. At least when you say I'm going to meet Kevin or Jackson, I know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
And should you say Jackson broke my heart, I know who I'm going to kill. You know? So I feel like the direction to go when it comes to sex, the sex talk with your kids, let them know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it pains me to say this, my mother has ever condemned me for reading.
Yeah.
Imagine. I've been condemned for reading because I know a lot.
Yeah.
Now the problem is knowledge is power and people are threatened by people with power. The fact that I know how to fight for myself is a threat already to the authority. I respect my parents very much. I respect my parents very much. But the fact that I'm knowing things, we have different morals, they are not okay with certain things, but technically speaking, that's just their choice. The same way you can hate the color pink, and even if it's your favorite food in pink or your favorite shoe in pink, you will loathe it. That's the same way. It's not like it's wrong. It's just your opinion. And I've come to realize some of the things that they raised me believing were terrible devil's porn things. They're actually not wrong.
Yeah.
They're not wrong. It's just their choice to not go in that direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me tell you. You see, for me,
mm-hmm.
That's what I usually say. If when I do eventually get kids, one,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather know as a parent than guess.
Exactly.
Heri nijue msana wangu anatambia na kijana fulani. Let her come with the boy, or let me know the boy from social media, so that I can have an idea of who he is. Unajua?
Yeah.
Though at least hata nikuwe na ile chance ya kusema, spendi character ya huu kijana.
The things he's posting, I'm not comfortable.
Yeah, I'm on a dreadlock, sitaki. You know, I have some things to criticize because I know.
Yeah.
And the way I would approach that issue of sex, I'd tell them the truth. Like, ideally, sex is best for people in marriage.
Yes, exactly.
But it doesn't always happen like that. There are people who even get divorced. There are people who get children before they get married.
There are people who get children because they don't want to be married.
Exactly. There is a lot of situations around it. Ideally, in the Bible, it's meant for people in marriage. But
mm-hmm.
You should know that sex has consequences. Okay?
Especially for girls.
Yes. And if I'm speaking to my girl, I'll tell her, you should know that if you have the wrong, sex with the wrong person at the wrong time, or you're forced into a circumstance that is sexual, the first thing that will happen to you is that you will feel really bad about yourself.
You will hate yourself. You will hate your body. That is the truth of the matter. You will hate your body.
Your body and yourself.
You feel defiled.
Yeah, it will take a long time for you to reconcile yourself with that part. And other than that, other than the fact that you will not be at peace with your well-being will not be at peace, mentality and all that. That's one of the things that can happen. There are a lot of other things. You can get pregnant. You can have a child that you didn't intend to.
You can get sick.
You can get sick. You can get yourself in a situation where somebody takes advantage of you. So, you tell them sex happens, but you really need to be sure
of what you're doing, yeah. But of course, you have to be clear that you don't advocate for sex before marriage.
But you see, like now for us, we were grown from a situation of kanisa, church, parenting, blah blah blah. And then you come out here, you realize, oh my God, everybody's having sex in campus and we are not married. Only they don't know the rules. You know.
You feel like kwani we are raised different, how?
Kwani ni am juu ya mko akim kwa class. So, like now, you realize, okay, the social order is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good that when a child walks into a situation, they know, mi nimefunzwa hivi, but pia hii huwa inahappen.
Exactly, exactly. So that needs to.
Don't you wish I was your dad right now? Point is, it's that encounter of sex that your daughter is about to go through. When you tell them that there are consequences and actual things to happen.
Serious things.
Situation that she's in a sexual situation and she will have the knowledge to say or to have the option to say, I am not ready for this.
Yes.
They're usually not ready when they get into it. Or akwanga too, like, the guy wants it, let's go with it, you know?
Yeah.
And same case even for dudes. You know that, obviously, for guys, you don't have to worry about pregnancy. A lot of the time...
it's usually STIs and impregnating someone's daughter.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even have to worry about your body most of the time. So, basically, for guys, it's not such a worry as for girls, you get?
Yeah.
So it's mostly just you tell them how the situation is. If you get someone pregnant, you're responsible. It's your problem as equally as it is her, you know? And then you tell them you can get sick, and when you get sick, it ruins your life on so many different levels, you know?
Yeah.
But parents don't want to have this conversation with them, and you find it affects children in so many spectrums in their lives, even in their work relationships. They cannot tell when a boss is being professionally demanding and when a boss is being toxic. Because pale nyumbani...
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. There's a toxic environment that you can't differentiate between normalcy and actual toxicity.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah.
So basically, what I think, by and large of this conversation, is basically that people... Or rather, guys, first of all, ask now. You need to examine yourself kidogo uone kama some characteristics you have are normal, ama they are just, you know, cause of these toxicities that you encounter when you're growing up. You get
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is there some things we just have to, the kind of things that we wish were told to us by our parents, those are the kind of things we need to tell our kids.
Yeah.
Because right now we're in an age within this decade.
Yeah.
We're becoming parents.
Of course.
So these are the kind of things we need to start thinking about early.
Yeah.
So that as time goes by, if there's something that needs to change, it changes around what you'd already set as your core values as an individual.
Yeah.
Actually, the long and short of this is not that your parents hate you.
Yeah.
It's that's just how they were raised. And unfortunately for them, they didn't expose themselves enough to know that some of the things that were told or instilled in them were wrong.
Yeah.
But they were destructive.
And their parents were not mostly communicators. They were more providers.
Exactly. Like, so actually, that's the thing.
Yeah.
They provide for you financially.
Yeah.
So you can't say that you slept hungry or you have, you don't have clothes, but you
they
have no emotional connection, no psychological connection. So if you go tell your parents, I'm feeling depressed or I think I have anxiety, they tell you, everyone gets sad sometimes.
Yeah.
Everyone gets worried. Everyone gets stressed. And you're like, that's not what I'm talking about, honey.
Like emotional deficiency.
That is just not there.
Yeah.
And one of the things I feel like we can, that you can do, if you feel, if you have, if you can talk to your parent or your caregiver, whoever it is, aunt, uncle, cousin, whatever, explain your needs and your boundaries, you know?
Yeah.
This is my room. I'd appreciate if you don't walk in and start going through my stuff.
Kuna watu wanacheka kwa hii at this situation. They're like, in the whole house.
I know. I know. There's some people
of knocking your door.
My mother does not knock. I tell her come in. She knocks to announce her entry.
Yeah, of course.
Nile, naingia. Bas, anafungua mlango. She opens the door to knock.
I know, she's 2 steps in the house. She's opened the, in the room. Asha open mlango alafu anagonga ndani. Niingie.
But okay, I feel like if you're able to.
Yeah.
You know, there are some parents who, by the way, they have started to loosen up with time.
Yeah.
And one thing I did realize, even from my parents, the older they get, the more complacent they get. So,
of course.
They've gotten tired.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they are at a point, if your parents are at a point where you can talk to them about some issues, then I'd suggest if you realize some things they did to you when you were growing up have hurt you, you can discuss it with them.
What?
You know, you talk to them, explain to them, and give them a chance to show their respect.
Of course.
The same way you'd respect them and they tell you, show us why we can trust you, show us that you're responsible. The same thing. It's a kind of two-way thing. You can't trust someone who has not shown you reason to trust them.
So, trust is earned.
Exactly. So also give them a chance to respect you.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't work, there's a reason this podcast is really for young adults. Start figuring out how you're going to detach.
Yeah.
Because some relationships are just in the gutter, kabisa, that's just gone and gone.
Yeah. Like now, me, I know a person, Creed, like as we wrap up,
yeah.
A person, mwenye, like, Peruza, like that, like the relationship is in the gutter, but that person keeps trying to get the approval of their parents. Like they've shown them they can be responsible, she's shown them that she can be trusted, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, unaona bado Pero anamtreat toxic wise. It becomes a situation where this person has to seek approval of the parent every single time in everything she does, from her career to her relationship to where she wants to live, every single thing. And it is so bad that this person can even lose a connection with someone because their parent is not approving.
What?
But it's bad generally. Like, I don't think even we've just barely just scratched the surface.
Oh my God, we've just brushed it. You alone scratch it.
So I have a friend who has an elder brother who is super abusive, physically and emotionally, and he gaslights. You know?
Okay.
You know the whole guilt tripping thing.
Yeah.
And the mother has the audacity to tell the girl, Susie now, that support your brother. It's just a phase. He'll get through it. Yet he is hurting her. There's actually an instance where he bet her nearly half to death.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom still says, it's your brother. His family. Stick with him. It's just a phase. Continue supporting him. In such a scenario, there's no talking.
There's no talking there. The one, he's genuinely hurting her, and the only way is detaching completely.
Kabisa.
You just, the one just has to find, just understand that this is this part of family that it just won't work.
Yeah.
It just won't. So just have to go your own way. Sorry, but that's just how it is.
People and a lot of parents confuse family with being related.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Because we carry the same blood. Like me, you shouldn't put effort or you should just do anything you want to be because.
Yeah. So as we wrap this up, there's a quote we all know, the blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
Quote. And unfortunately, that quote has been shortened and used for the wrong thing. Blood is thicker than water makes it seem like your blood, like your family, your blood relations are thicker than the other relations, which is wrong. It actually, the full quote is, blood of the covenant is thicker than water of the womb. Meaning the friendships you make, the covenant, the friendships you make can be stronger than your family relations. That's the full thing. Blood of the covenant is thicker than water of the womb.
Yeah.
I think.
I was 10 years old when I learned that.
You're welcome. And that's it for part one.
Yeah.
There's still so much to discuss. I think we might even need a part three.
Yeah, maybe.
At this rate. Yeah, so guys, should listen to this and share and share and share and share because I know. For sure, people have experienced this.
Yeah, for sure.
So many people have experienced what we've talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you for...
As usual, if you definitely want to add your voice to this whole conversation, you can drop in my DMs, you can send me a voice note, you can always reach out to me on Instagram at itsjwest and Twitter on itsjwest. You can send me there, you tell me your opinion, and I will definitely read it out in the next episode.
Awesome. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, they can find me on Instagram @_crid_ or on Twitter @cridscornerpodcast.
Yeah,
awesome. Thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
Part two is going to be on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. See you in part two then.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.